Morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin is Nun Aleph. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lonesech Nishmat Libig Avril Bashmol. Let's begin this morning on Nun Amud Beis at the Mishnah. A Mekadesh Isha Uvita. A man makes an attempt to make Mekadesh a woman and her daughter. O Isha Vachosa. Or a woman and her sister. Ka'achas. And he tries to do so simultaneously. Yeah, small problem. It's not small. The Torah prohibits a man to marry a woman and her daughter. The Torah prohibits a man to marry a woman and his sister. So the Torah just simply prohibits it. And as we know, these are both Isurei Arayos, these are Isurei Kares. There's no Tfisus Kedushin. So, but here, the trick is he's trying to do it at the same time. So he's trying to do simultaneous Kedushin to these women. So any Mekadesh, the Kedushin is not going to be a good Kedushin to either one of these women. Now, keep in mind, obviously, if it was Mekadesh one after the other, the first one would obviously be Chal. The first one is perfectly legitimate. It's only when he gets to the second woman, either the daughter or the sister, so then the Kedushin is not going to be Chal. Here, he made an attempt to do it simultaneously, and because he made an attempt to do it simultaneously, neither of the Kedushin are going to be Tofes, and the Gemara is going to explain why that should be. Umaisa bechamesh nashin. So, and then the Mishnah tells a story where there were five women. Vahem sheachayos. Amongst the five women, two of them were sisters. Velikat adam achad kakala shel teinim. And a man gathered a basket of figs. Vishalahen aisa, and it belonged to them. Vishal shvias aisa, and it was their shvias. And tomorrow we're going to be discussing those details in the Mishnah, exactly what they are intent on teaching us. And he says, I want all of you with this one basket to be mekadoshes to me. And he does so simultaneously, but kakalazu. V'kibla achas mehem ayde kula. Now, one of them accepts it on behalf of everybody. So therefore, it would, in theory, be that all these women will be mekudeshes to him simultaneously. And the Chachamim said, yeah, but the sisters are going to be excluded. Why are the sisters going to be excluded? Since he can't marry one after the other, so therefore he cannot marry both simultaneously. Now, I kind of gave away some of the Gemara coming up ahead in terms of why this should be, but okay, it's fine. It's a slippage of the upcoming Gemara is not a big deal. So we'll allow for that. Anyway, but the sisters themselves are not mekudeshos because obviously he can't marry sisters. So therefore the kedushin with the sisters is not chal. The kedushin with the other woman would seemingly be chal. We're going to be discussing that later on as well. Later this morning. Okay, menahan mili. Okay, where's the source of our Mishnah? I'm trying to be mekadesh not me. A man, let's leave me out of this. A man is trying to be mekadesh a woman and her daughter, a woman and her sister, and he's trying to do so simultaneously. So the Mishnah says neither condition is effective. Why should that be? So So the opening explanation of the Mishnah is given by Rami Bar Chama, who quotes a pasuk. Meaning, what he's trying to do is he's trying to make a drasha. In terms of, there's a drasha in the Torah that teaches this is halacha. And the drasha goes like this. Isha elachosa lo sikach litzura. A woman and her sister, a person cannot take as co-wife. Tzura from the word tzara, which we use time and again to describe a co-wife. In other words, the Torah says, a man can't take a woman and a sister. Ha Torah amra, bisha'a shenasu tzara zula zeu. So Rami Bar Chama's drasha goes like this. In an occasion where a man makes an attempt to take two sisters and have them become co-wives, so there's not going to be any lukuchim, meaning there won't even be a marriage. There won't be a chalos of marriage whatsoever. I feel about achas mehem, not even with one of them. Amalei Rava, so Rava says to Rami Bar Chama, that is a very strange drasha, and it's a very unusual drasha, and quite frankly, it's not really the intent of the pasuk. Well, Rava says to Rami Bar Chama, I'm not quite following, because we also know that the Torah gives kares for such an act, meaning, if a man has relations with his wife's sister, punishable by kares. If a man has relations with any one of the arayos, punishable by kares. Now, when it comes to wife's sister, how does she become your wife's sister? Well, the first step is that first you need a wife. Then you have a wife's sister. So the only way that there could actually be a punishment of kares is first ishus, then achos isha. According to you, Rami Bar Chama, what just happened? You made an attempt to marry two sisters simultaneously. And you're telling me that the Torah says, well, there's no chalos kedushin whatsoever. Well, if there's no chalos kedushin whatsoever, So then you're never going to get to the point of having relations with your wife's sister, because you don't have a wife, because neither kedushin is going to be chal. And we know that the Torah has to yield to a scenario in which it's not that we want a person to get kares, but there has to be a kares situation. And according to you, Rami Bar Chama, there is no kares situation because you're not married to either woman. So that can't be pshat in the pasuk. So, okay, that's all pasuk. So e kedushin lo tafsi ba. So if there's no tefisas kedushin, like you're saying, Rami Bar Chama, so kares mimechayiv. So you're not going to be chayiv kares. So therefore, that can't be it. So we know what the halacha is. We just don't know what the source of that halacha is. The halacha is a man makes an attempt to marry two sisters simultaneously. Neither kedushin is going to be chal. Rami Bar Chama thought that it was extracted from a drasha in the Torah, and to which the Gemara says it's not extracted from the Gemara. From a drasha in the Torah, can't be, because we need the Torah to result in kares. And if there's no kedushin with either one of the sisters, there's simply not going to be kares. You're not married to either one of them. So therefore, the other one's not going to be the sister of your wife. Ella Amar Rava. Krab Zachar Zeb. Okay, so we're going to go, as far as the pasuk is concerned, the pasuk Kipshuto is talking about one after the other. First, you marry a woman, then you have relations with her sister, and that's what the Torah is describing. Now, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, so Rav is going to explain our Mishnah can be explained through a Svara, meaning it's not going to be a Drasha, it's going to be a logical argument, and the logical argument goes like this. Umas Nisen Kid Rabba. Now, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is following the argument, the Svara of Rabba. So this is Rava quoting Rabba, one of his Rebbeim. So the Amar Rabba Kol She'enu B'Zeachazeh Afilu B'Vasachas Eino. And here's the principle where we're going to be spending half of today's daf discussing our first principle. Two big principles coming up today. This is number one, and that is that if I cannot do it successively, then I cannot do it simultaneously. That is the principle of Rabba. It's the Rashi describes it as a Svara. It's a simple logical argument. Well, if the Torah doesn't allow me to do it one after the other, then I cannot do it simultaneously at all, for either one. And here we go. This is the argument that is going to lead us to the conclusion that if a man makes an attempt to marry two sisters simultaneously, so there will not be a chalos with either one of them. Since he can't marry one after the other, he cannot do it simultaneously. It is possible. It's possible to do it simultaneously. The both of them will appoint one shliach to accept it on both of their behalfs.
But don't have parents want year for the tzamtzam?
No, but again, let's go back to my scenario. In my scenario, you don't have to worry about tzimtzum. Over here, it's one shliach accepting on both of their behalfs. So when that one shliach accepts on both of their halves, so with that one action that she does, they're both going to be mukadeshes to him. So it can be done simultaneously. No, the shliach has already been appointed to receive the kedushin. So now, when the shliach is being designated by both of the sisters, and when the shliach is accepting on both of their behalfs, so it's now occurring simultaneously. And now I need a reason why it doesn't work for either one of them. And so what the Gemara now is presenting to us is the reason of Rabba, because since it does not work one after the other, it therefore doesn't work simultaneously. Gufo. So here we go. We start now discussing this position of Rabba, and we want to see whether or not it tests out throughout other areas in halacha. Kufa Amar Rabba Kol She'enu B'Zeachazeh Afilu B'Vasachas Eino. If it does not, if it cannot happen successively, it cannot happen simultaneously. Esve Abaye. So here now, Abaye is going to test the, I call it the theory of Rabba. It's more than a theory. He believes that this is, in fact, a halachic guideline. So let's test it out and see if it's, in fact, can play out in other areas in halacha. Let's start off with a Mishnah in Trumos. Okay, actually, it's a Tosefta of Demai. Okay, Hamar bet Mamaisa Peros of Mesukanim Umasros Mukukalan. Now, the case over here is very simple. We know that when you take off Maisarishon, you're supposed to be taking off 10%, and a precise 10%. As opposed to Truma, where there's a little bit of variance in terms of how much Truma you're supposed to take off. We discussed it actually very recently in the Daf. But when it comes to Maisar, the Torah says 10%. In fact, the word Maisar itself indicates that it has to be Eser. It has to be 10% of that which you take off, and it needs to be precise. You cannot take off 9%, you cannot take off 11%, it has to be 10%. A person over here is taking off 20%. Take a look at that first Rashi on the Amud. Amafish Echa Mechamisha. Shemana Arba Lechulen B'tzad Zeh Umadar Chamishas Lamaiser. So this guy over here is taking now one out of every five for his Maiser Rishon. Now, obviously, that is much more than necessary. 100% more than what's necessary in order to take off for Maiser Rishon. The Mishnah says, the Tosefta says, Peiros of Mesukanim. Now, there are two piles now to look at. There's a pile of four and there's a pile of one. So let's start off by talking about the pile of four. Mesukanos, corrected. Meaning, you took off Maiser. Now, you took off more than what you should have taken off, but for the time being, in terms of the pile of four, it's fixed. It's corrected. And therefore, you can eat it. Masros mikukalim. However, here's the problem. Now when I turn my attention to the one, the pile of one, which really should not be one, it should be a half, but I look at the pile of one, it is mikukal. It's ruined. Now why should that be? Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. I don't understand. Let's apply Rabba's rule over here of ze'achar ze'ah. Now, in Rabba's rule, again, here's what I know. If I can't do it successively, I can't do it simultaneously. Now, what can't I do successively? Let's say I take off, instead of using number 5, let's use the number 10. It'll make our jobs much easier. Let's say the pile consisted of 10. Now, I took off one for Maiser. Good. Give myself a pat on the back. That's exactly what I'm supposed to do. And now I took off another one for Maiser. Now, that second one that I took off for Maiser is not Maiser. You can call it whatever you want. It's not Maiser, as I pointed out. Maiser is a specific unit. It has to be 1 out of 10. So once I took off the first 10, that's Maiser. The next 10 that I take off, I can't call it Maiser Rishon. Again, I can, but it's not. It's not Maiser Rishon. So I can't do it successively. So if I can't do it successively, so then I shouldn't be able to do it simultaneously. So now, this guy over here took 1 out of 5, and he called it Maiser Rishon. So what do we say? We said that, well, the four is corrected because he took off Maiser. But as far as the one is concerned, it's ruined. Why is it ruined? Because it's Maiser and Tevel that are mixed up together. Well, no, it's not. It can't be Maiser and Tevel mixed up together. Meaning, I can't do it one after the other, so therefore I won't be able to do it simultaneously. So it certainly sounds like Rabba's principle doesn't apply in this Mishnah over here. The Amai, the Gemara spells out the question, name of Kosheinu Bezachar Zafil Bavatzachar Zeno. So Amarle Shani Maiser. So the Gemara says, well, you're starting off with a false assumption when it comes to Maiser. And that is the following. When I took off, I had a pile of five, and I took one of the five off. So you were thinking that, well, it's all or nothing, meaning all that one is going to be dedicated as Maiser Rishon. It's simply not true. When it comes to Maiser de'isa lechatzaim, when it comes to Maiser, I could subdivide, meaning even if I have one kernel, I don't have to dedicate that entire one kernel as Maiser. I can, although it'll create a lot of pragmatic issues, but I can create a half a kernel as Maiser, if necessary. So again, how to divide that with half of kernel now? Admittedly an issue, but you could do that. So the Kaddish Palga de Chitasa Kaddisha, where if you turn to one kernel and you say, I want half of the kernel to be Kadosh, in this case Maiser, so then it has Kedusha, it has the sanctity. So what we find now is that here, when I take off the one, it's not a problem. It doesn't violate Rabba's rule. Rabba says, well, if I can't do it one after the other, I can't do it simultaneously. Here, when it comes to one out of five, when I'm taking off my 20%, I actually can take of that 20% and divide that in half. I can even take a kernel and divide that in half. So we don't really run a risk of violating Rabba's rule when it comes to Maiser. Really, when he took off 20%, only 10% of the 20% is Maiser. The other is not Maiser. It's Tevel. That's why it's Mekukal. And it doesn't violate Rabba's rule. So where do we stand right now? Rabba's rule is so far defended. Next. Well, the Gemara says, well, let's consider now our next case, and that's Maiser Behema. In the case of Maiser Behema, we know. Right, we spent last Perek of Bechoros discussing it, and God willing, we'll see it again at the last Perek of Bechoros when we hit the Masechta again. So there, the mitzvah in the Torah is. It's found in the end of Sefer Vayikra, where I have to my annual yield of animals that were born in my Eder. Of those animals, and the fiscal year begins on Rosh Chodesh Elul, right? First Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. Although that's a machlokas tonight, but anyway, my yields worth of animals, then I pass through a gate and I count 1 through 10. One through nine are mine, and then number 10 has kedusha, and the kedusha is what's called ma'aser behema. And then if I have 20 animals born in my flock, I'll count it again. I'll do the next 10, etc., etc. Every 10th animal has kedushas ma'aser behema. What do you do with kedushas ma'aser behema? It's really simple. You bring it up to Yerushalayim, you offer in the Beis Hamikdash like you would a carbon shlamim, and you get to eat it, the ma'aser behema. Now, in terms of Ma'aser Behema, so we come across this a couple times throughout Shas, and we have the Mishnah in our Gemara over here is going to be discussing what happens if your ability to count to the number 10 is somewhat a struggle. And what if, when you get to the number 10, you struggled a little bit in terms of successfully counting numbers 9, 10, and 11. And let's learn the braisa together. The Amar Rava Yatsu Shnayim Ba'asiri. So Rava discusses now the following scenario. Let's say two animals fit through that small opening. Now you were supposed to make that opening only wide enough so that one animal comes out at a time. However, Yatsu Shnayim Ba'asiri. But let's say two animals come out as your number 10 slot. The Karan Asiri. And what do? I point to the two of them and I say, hey, that's my number 10. But now, two animals are candidates as your number 10 because two animals came out. Now, here we can have a discussion of EF Shalat Samsem, meaning that they did not come out absolutely simultaneously at the same time. But for our purposes, let's just consider now that both of them have been labeled number 10. Now, Asir v'acharasar mu'ravin zebezeh. So what is the consequence? The consequence of such an event is that basically I have number 10 and number 11 mixed in one with another. Now, what do I do in such a scenario? If you take a look at Rashi quickly, Rashi says, V'acharasar mu'ravin, echameh ma'aser gamor. One of them is absolute ma'aser. Rashi is a little bit lower where we are in the Rashi, about halfway down in the thin lines. Rashi writes, Echa mehem ma'aser gamor, aval eini yodea eizu hu. So one of them is absolutely your ma'aser behema, your 10th animal. Vasheni shem shlamim alav. Now, as far as the other animal is concerned, it has a regular shlamim status. Kidin echarasar shekar asiri. It would be no different than the 11th animal referred to as number 10. Acher shetav v'kar asiri chid dekaimelan shehu shlamim. Kidal kaman, and the Gemara later on will present this halacha, that if the 11th animal comes out and I refer to it as number 10, it is a shlamim. Hai havinami shlamim shari echarasar ze afhu acher kriyachi nikra asiri v'arein meraven. V'yiru achi stavum. And now, what must I do? I must wait until they develop a blemish. Anywhere where it's a shlamim, the transfer of the kedusha shlamim from this animal, from the blemished animal to the non-blemished animal. Both of them have a status of suffik meiser. Now, here's where it gets a little bit complicated, but Rashi tells us. Now, this cannot work simultaneously. The number 11 animal will only have kedusha if I didn't refer to the number 10 animal as number 10. Meaning, let's go over the classic scenario of this person who can't count to the number 10. Here we go now, he's having the animals walk out through the gate. And he's now going 1 through 8, he was fine. Then the 9th animal comes out. Now he's excited because he knows the next one's going to be 10. And so he gets a little bit confused. So the 9th animal comes out and refers to it as number 10. Okay. That 9th animal has kedusha. Now that the 9th animal comes out in number 10, so it's human nature. The next animal that comes out, he wants to try to correct his mistake. He's going to make an overcorrection. The next animal that comes out, he's going to call number 9. That next animal that comes out, that's number 9, I'm sorry, even though it was the 10th animal, but since it referred to it as number 9, that also is going to have Kedusha. It was, in fact, the 10th animal. The next animal that he comes out, well, he just counted the number 9, so what do you think he's going to call the next animal that comes out, the 11th animal that comes out? It's number 10. So here you have a scenario where 9, 10, 11. 9 was referred to as number 10. 10 was referred to as number 9. 11 was referred to as number 10. So what we're going to see in just a moment is that all three of those animals have Kedusha. Okay. That would be in such a scenario. What Rashi here is pointing out is that if he successfully referred to number 10 as number 10, number 11, doesn't matter what he calls it, will have no Kedusha whatsoever. So you basically have a scenario in which if I refer to number 10 successfully as number 10, number 11 can have no Kedusha. So it doesn't work zeh acher zeh.
Even if he calls it number 10 again?
Yep. So it doesn't work successively. So since it doesn't work successively, so now the Gemara is going to put together its argument. Rabbah, it doesn't work successively, it therefore shouldn't work simultaneously. That is the Gemara's question. Let's see the Gemara back now inside. I'm a Rav. I'm going to start again from the first wide line. Number two animals come out at the same time. And I refer to the two animals as number 10. So I have 10 and 11 mixed up together. Now, Shani Maisa Behema de Isa Bata'o. So the Gemara says, even though you could pose it as a question against Rabbah, but the Gemara says, but we're not going to. Why? Because we know that in theory, you can have a 10th and 11th animal both having Kedusha. Now, did not the Gemara says, let's quote the Mishnah. So here the Mishnah gives the example that I laid out just a moment ago. 9th animal comes out, you call number 10. 10th animal comes out, you call number 9. 11th animal comes out, you call number 10. Shloshta mikudashin. So all three of them are going to have Kedusha. So essentially what the Gemara's answer in defense of Rabbah is like this. Look, I understand that I can't simultaneously refer to animals number 10 and 11 as number 10. It doesn't work. Once I refer to the 10th animal as the 10th, the 11th animal has no Kedusha whatsoever. Because it's not the 10th. I already identified what the 10th was. And so if it doesn't work simultaneously, it should not work. If it doesn't work one after the other, it shouldn't work simultaneously. To which the Gemara's answer is, you're right, but. When it comes to Maaser Behema, at least there are scenarios in which 10 and 11 could have Kedusha. I know it won't be this scenario, but there'll be other scenarios in which 10 and 11 can have Kedusha. So at least theoretically it's possible for 10 and 11 to have Kedusha. So therefore, when I refer to 10 and 11 concurrently as the 10th animal, they're both going to be invested with Kedusha, and it doesn't rub against Rabbah's rule. Okay, next. The Gemara says, Hare Toda. What about the carbon Toda? Now, what about the carbon Toda? We know that when a person has survived a harrowing experience of life, the Gemara in Brachos gives four different categories, right? Kol HaChayim Yodu Chasela. The Chayim helps us remind ourselves what the four categories are. When a person experiences that, so he brings the carbon Toda to the Beis HaMikdash. The carbon Toda is a Shlamim, but with restrictions. It's a carbon restrictions and additions. It's a carbon shlamim where normally carbon shlamim you have 2 days and the night in between to eat. The carbon toda you only have 1 day and the following night to eat. That's it. So you're limited in terms of the amount of time you can eat it. And also it has lechem that comes along with it. It has loaves of bread. How many? 40 loaves of bread. It is the largest number of breads that accompany any carbon. Right? The popular nitziv that said over regarding the carbon toda, why is there so much bread? You're not going to be able to eat it by yourself, and the amount of time that you have to eat it is going to be curtailed. So the nitziv says, I say famously because I've heard this nitziv time and again, right? My kids come home from school with the nitziv. Even my little ones it's a good nitziv. So he says because when you have to bring a carbon toda, you're by definition going to have to invite people over to help you eat your carbon toda, and it gives you an opportunity to share with them how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved you from that experience. Okay, it's a good nitziv to know. So anyway, regarding the carbon toda, so it has to accompany with 40 loaves of bread. Now, whenever you have a carbon with accompanying bread. So what's the halacha? The halacha is that the bread is only going to be imbued with Kedusha Zaguf only when you shecht the carbon. the shechting of the carbon is going to give the status to the bread, turning it from kedushas damim to kedushas aguf. Okay, basic halachas. So now, haray toda delesa betalos velesa nami bezachar zeh. Now, when it comes to carbon toda, there's no mistake. Meaning, by meister behema, the halacha entertains a person making mistakes, which is why we had the discussion a moment ago how number 11 can have kedusha and how number 9 can have kedusha, because there the Torah allows for some mistakes to occur. But when it comes to a carbon toda, it's a regular carbon, and there's no such thing as giving it kedusha by mistake. And also, there's no succession, which we're going to explain what that means in just a moment. V'idmar. Toda shenishchata al shmonim chalos. Now, I already mentioned that 40 is a lot. Now, if 40 is a lot, 80 is a real lot. Okay? But the person brought 80 loaves of bread with his carbon toda. Now, 80 is 40 men, 40 more than he needs. What is the halacha? Chizkiya amar kad sheila arbay mitoch shmonim. So Chizkiya is of the opinion that of the 80 that he brings, when he shechs his carbon toda, 40 of the 80 are going to have kedusha. Rav Yochanan amar lo kichela arbaim mitoch shmonim, and Rav Yochanan says no, that's not going to happen. 40 of the 80 are not going to have kedusha. Now, where do we stand right now? We are struggling with the following, that basically what the argument over here between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan is basically they're arguing about Rabba's principle. If I can't do it successively, I can't do it simultaneously. So Chizkiya basically says, I don't buy that argument. Meaning Chizkiya is saying, look, I know I can't do 40 plus 40, but I could do 80. Meaning Chizkiya seems to be negating the principle of Rabba. And Rav Yochanan seems to be subscribing to the principle of Rabba. Now, I guess that at this point in time, the Gemara could just simply say, okay, and Rabba holds like Rav Yochanan, and let's all go home. But the Gemara would like to present it as nobody's arguing with Rabba's principle. To which now the Gemara clarifies. Lavit marla, am Rav Yeshua ben Levi, akomodim kol hecha da amr kache le arbaim, mitok shmonim kache. Now, so the Gemara says, yeah, but this machlokus between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan is qualified, and it qualifies in the following manner. If, let's say, the person who brought the 80 loaves of bread says, look, I know it's more than I need. When I shech my carbon toda, I only want 40 of these 80 to be kadosh. 40 of the 80 are going to be kadosh. Done. Now, lo yikdishu arbaim ela im kin kache, shmonim lo kache. Now, let's say the person is just a little bit stubborn and he says, look, the only way that this is going to work is that when I shech my carbon toda, all 80 are going to have kedusha. None of them have kedusha. So these are on these two extreme points, we all agree. Lo nechlugu ela bistam. What the machlokis is between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan is where the person does not make any type of articulation when bringing his 80 loaves of bread. So we don't know what is going on in that person's mind. So Mar Savala Achrayav Kamechavin, or Mar Savala Karban Gadol Kamechavin. And that's the machlokis between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan. What is stam in a person's mind when he's bringing 80 loaves accompanying his carbon totem? So Chizkiya will tell you that really what's in his mind is an insurance policy. Meaning, I don't know if those 40 loaves of bread are going to be good. They may go stale. Maybe a psul, maybe a disqualification, whatever the case is. So I'm just bringing another 40 as backup for my first 40. But I'm not really interested in exceeding that which the Torah tells me to do. Torah tells me to bring 40. I know I brought 80. 40 is just simply backup. And Rav Yochanan is saying, no. The person who brings 80 without any articulation probably is thinking to himself, carbon gadol. Look, 40, hey, I could do better than 40. I could do 80. So that to that person now who thinks he's going to go beyond, above and beyond that which the Torah wants him to do, so none of them are going to have kedusha. The Gemara says that's the machlokus between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan, and therefore, once again, Rabba's thesis is left in good shape. V'Rava lama le'lishnoi k'Rabba. One last note on this Gemara. So basically, what do we have? In terms of a summary, it's very straightforward. A mission that tells us that when a man makes an attempt to marry two sisters simultaneously, neither of them are going to be the miskadeshes. Why not? So Rami Bar Chama brought a pasuk. Rava didn't like the pasuk. Can't imagine how the pasuk works over here. So Rava rather uses the rule of Rabba, which is that if I can't do it successively, I can't do it simultaneously. Since a man cannot marry a woman and her sister successively, so therefore he cannot do it simultaneously. And then what we went and we did is we did a tour of other areas in Shas where it seems to be that we're violating the rule of Rabba, but the Gemara defends Rabba. We took a look at the person who took off too much Meiser. We took a look at the person who was Mekadesh, the 10th and the 11th animal simultaneously. And we took a look at the case where a person brought in, instead of 40 loaves for his carbon totah, 80 loaves for his carbon totah. In all those cases, the Gemara says it doesn't offend Rabba's rule. And now, after having said that, Rabba lama lelishnoi karabba. The Gemara says, now, as far as Rav is concerned, you know, he explained our Mishnah using the principle of Rabba. Tepuk le kedushin shein mesturin labia ninu. Now, you know, this is Rava we're talking about. And as we're about to see in just a moment, Rava's got another rule. And based on Rava with an aleph, based on Rava's other rule, we have a very simple explanation of the Mishnah according to Rava, which is, it is kedushin sheinan mesturin labia. A kedushin that cannot result in relations, because she's your wife's sister. And any kedushin that cannot result in bia is going to be a failure in kedushin, meaning the kedushin just simply doesn't get off the ground. And so therefore, the Gemara wants to know, if that's true, why is Rava giving another explanation of the Mishnah when his own explanation of ein kedushin misnun labia would be a perfectly valid explanation? So the Gemara says, L'dvrav d'rami bar chamakama. The Gemara says, yeah, look, you're right, meaning absolutely. As we're going to see in the next half of today's daf, Rava is of the opinion that Kedushin Shein Mesturin Labia is not Kedushin. And that would be a very good way to explain our Mishnah. But remember, the reason why he came into this discussion to begin with is because Rami Bar Chama gave a drasha, and Rava said, well, that drasha doesn't work. I'm going to give an explanation that'll satisfy Rami Bar Chama, because it's pretty obvious from the Gemara. He knows that Rami Bar Chama doesn't agree with him on Kedushin Shein Mesturin Labia. And so therefore he had to give another explanation to the Mishnah. Kol She'eino Bezeach HaZeh Afilo Bevasachas. Well, now, since it can't work consecutively, it can't work simultaneously. Okay. And that now leads us to our next big discussion of the day, and that is Kedushin Shein Mesturin Labia. Itmar Kedushin Shein Mesturin Labia Abaye Amar Havi Kedushin Rav Amar Lo Havi Kedushin. So, basic machlokes here between Abaye and Rava regarding a Kedushin that cannot result in Bia. Rav is of the opinion that Kedushin is not good, meaning it's just simply not valid. And Abaye says no. Even though the Kedushin cannot result in Bia, the Kedushin would in fact be a valid Kedushin. Okay, now, let's just read a little bit more Gemara and then go to Tosfos. A little bit more Gemara. Amar Rava Barahine Azvar Li, Ki Yikach Ish Isha Uba'ala. How do I know that Kedushin, in order for it to be a successful Kedushin, has to eventually yield to, result to Bia? Because the Torah says, a man marries a woman, Yikach over there is a reference to Kedushin, Uba Allah, and ultimately, they're going to have relations with one another. Kedushin, I'm Misurin Labia of a Kedushin. So it's not, the Torah is not just giving us a narrative in terms of here's what happens when you get married. The Torah is giving us a halachic requirement. In order for the kedushin to work, it must result in bia. So kedushin shem is doing labia lo have a kedushin. And if the kedushin cannot result in bia, so therefore the kedushin is not going to be a good kedushin. Okay, now let's pause for just a moment. Let's turn our attention to Tosfos. Tosfos says, I'm not totally following. We have, look at the first and only Tosfos on the Amud. Kedushin Shein Mesturin Labia, Rav Amar Lo Havi Kedushin, Perish Bekuntras. Dechtiv Vala Debeinan Ru'i Labia. He quotes Rashi, who's quoting really the Gemara. So, okay. Could have just quoted the Gemara, but okay. Vikasha. Da'achai Ve'lavim Einan Ru'i Labia V'tafse Ba'Kedushin. So Tosfos says, here's what I'm bothered by. It's a really simple question. We know, we've seen this time and again throughout our Masechta, and when we get into the third paragraph, we're going to be discussing this extensively. A man marries a woman that the Torah prohibits him. Not an Isser Kares, but just a regular love. We know the Kedushin is valid. Now, is he allowed to have relations with her? Of course not. Meaning, let's say a Kohen marries a Grusha. The Torah prohibits the Kohen from marrying the Grusha. Now again, we know the Kedushin is Chal, even though they are not allowed to have relations with one another. So according to Rava, why isn't that an example of Kedushin She'in Mesturin Labia? And why over there is the Kiddushin going to be validated? And we know Rava does not argue with that. That's a basic tenet in halacha, that if she's only prohibited through a lav, the Kiddushin is going to be a valid Kiddushin. The Gemara, Tosfos is asking, according to Rava, why should that be? The kasha then chayav elav and in ruin labia v'tafsi b'kedushin. The kachnir lafarish kedushin she'ain misurin labia. So now Tosfos over here has a very important qualification of what we mean when it says kedushin she'ain misurin labia. Kedushin she'ain misurin labia klamar she'iser habia al yedei kedushin. Very important qualification in terms of understanding our entire Gemara. Tosfos says that the only time that we're having a discussion, Rav and Abaye over here, is where the Kedushin is creating the Isser Bia. Meaning, when a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha, it's not the Kohen that's creating the Isser Bia. It's the Torah already says to him, hey, you're not allowed to marry her. But because the punishment is only an Isser, is only a lav and not an Isser Kares, so therefore the Kedushin is going to be Tofes. When we're having the discussion now of in terms of whether or not Kedushin, Shem, Isser, and Labia, whether it is or it is not Kedushin, Machlok is Rav and Abaye, we're having it where the Kedushin is creating the Isser Bia. For example, when a man is marrying his wife's sister, it's the marriage that's creating the Isser Bia, and that's why, according to Rava, the Kedushin is not going to be Chal. Okay. Super important qualification from Tosfos. Back to our Gemara. Tanan. And so basically now what we're going to do is, for the rest of today's daf, turn our attention to see, well, who seems to be more correct in terms of the halacha. Rava says that a Kedushin Shem Mestrun Labia is not a valid Kedushin. The Kedushin doesn't get off the ground. Abai says, no. Even though the Kedushin cannot result in Bia, still the Kedushin will have validity. And the obvious nafkamina would be, is there going to be a requirement for a get? According to Rava, there's no requirement for a get. There's no Kedushin. According to Abai, there would be. So Tanan, let's take a look at our Mishnah. Parenthetically, not parenthetically, I mean,
Bia without Kedushin with his sister is five cars either.
Hmm? With his sister.
With his wife's sister.
Yeah. Right. So is it what? It's an Isser Kares.
It's an Isser Kares. So the Kedushin are not still Isser Kares.
Correct. But in other words, we're talking about a scenario in which he's Mekadesh the two of them simultaneously. So.
But you said that the Kedushin is not an Isser Kares.
The Kedushin, we're just simply saying, no. What Tosfos is saying is that our entire discussion over here is where the Kedushin is creating the Isser Bia. The Kedushin is creating the Isser Bia. Without the Kedushin, that woman would be permitted to him. It just happens to be that right now he is being Mekadish's sister at the same time. So it's the Kedushin that's creating the Isser Bia. I understand the Kedushin is generating now the Isser of Achos Isha, but without the Kedushin, there wouldn't be an Isser. Okay, it's a lot to think about. But Tanan, I'm a Kaddish Isha Ubita, O Isha V'Achosa, Ka'achas. So let's take a look now at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah describes where a man is being Mekaddish either a woman and a daughter, or a woman and a sister, Eina Mekudeshes. Now, Ha'achas Mi'isha Ubita, O Mi'isha V'Achosa, Mekudeshes. Now, let's say he's Mekaddish one of the two. Now, when we say one of the two, we mean he's being Mekadesh one of the two, but he does not. It was not explicated to him which one of the two he was Mekadeshes. So basically, now what are we looking at? We're looking at a scenario of here is a woman and her daughter, and I know that the shliach accepted kedushin for one of the two. I just don't know which one. Now, and it would seem from our Mishnah, the kedushin would be valid because the only thing that the Mishnah disqualifies is when he's been Mekadesh both. Now, ve'amai kedushin shame misurin labia ninu to tiyufta de Rava. So this is a kedushin that which does cannot result in bia, because this man cannot have relations with this woman, because if he's having relations with this woman, let's consider that as he's having relations with this woman not, may not be the one who's married to him, it may be the woman's daughter that's married to him, making this woman an erva to him. So he put himself in a situation where he is mekudeshes to a woman that he can't have bia with, and yet the kedushin is a valid kedushin. So Rava says, well, look, I know you think this is a strong question against me, but just read on in the Mishnah. Ma'isa b'chamish nashim v'hem she'achayis v'liked echa kakal shetenim shalem ma'isa v'shul shvi'es ha'isa. We're just going over the last case of the Mishnah, where there were five women, of which two of them were sisters. And he was mekadesh all five of them simultaneously. Ve'amare kuchem mekudeshes li b'kakal azu. Ve'amur chochamim ein achayos mekudashos. Now, the Chachamim's response to that scenario were, the sisters are excluded. Now, the sisters are excluded, but that means that the three remaining women who have no relationship whatsoever to one another are mekudashos. Now, hechidami. Now, ilem adam rekuchem kini. Now, the if he said that I want to marry kuchem, the if he said I want to marry all of you, so at v'chamorhu, at v'chamor lokana. So the Gemara says, well, then basically, once you say kuchem, you are including in your kiddushin somebody who's totally mufka, somebody who's totally removed from the entire kiddushin experience. Meaning, you basically have, of the five, and he says the word kulchem, two of them who are just simply not in the conversation. And it would be no different, says the Gemara, than saying at v'chamor. At v'chamor, if you take a look at Rashi over here, no se matanos l'nolad u'l'uber shebemei imo, she'enu kone klum, gam ha'nolad enu kone, sha'rei lo hikne lezeh b'lo zeh. If you link yourself to somebody that can't do kinyanim, let's say a fetus, and you say, me and the fetus are going to make an acquisition. But so if once you put yourself together with somebody who can't make an acquisition, it's funny, the Gemara gives the example of Chamor, Rashi gives the example of a fetus, but it's the same basic idea. Once you link yourself with somebody or something that can't make an acquisition, so then, so if he has two sisters as part of his new collection of wives, well, if the two can't be Mekudeshes, then the other three also can't be Mekudeshes, because he pulled everyone together. Ella, top of the next Amud, Lav de Amr Lahu, Achas Mikem. So it must be that, in the Mishnah, he said, one of you, Viktani Ein Achayes Mekudeshes. Now, since he said one of you, the sisters are not included, because the sisters can't be included. Because again, if he said one of the five, and he had then relations with one of the sisters, again, he didn't know which one he was Mekadeshes to. It could be that the one he was Mekadeshes to was not the one sister that he's having relations with, but with the sister of the one that he's having relations with, making this woman to him prohibited. So now we have a situation of Kedushin She'ein Mistur and Labia. And that's why the Kedushin is not going to be Chal with the sister. Now, Larava, so now the Rava Kasha Reish Labai Kasha Seifa. So now basically, as I'm looking at the Mishnah, the first half of the Mishnah seems to support Abaye, but the second half of the Mishnah seems to support Rava. So the Gemara says, Kasha Seifa, Abaye Matar Zatami, Rava Matar Zatami. So the Gemara says, look, everyone is going to explain the Mishnah based on their own position. Abaye Matar Zatami, Amakadish Isha Uvita, O Isha Vachosa, Ka'achas, Eina Mekudeshes. Okay, so let's start off with Abaye. Abaye will say that Kedushin Shein Mesurin Labia is considered Kedushin. If a man tries to be Mekadesh, a woman and his daughter, or a woman and his sister, simultaneously, the Kedushin is not valid. Ha'achas, Mi'isha Obita, or Mi'isha Vachosa, Mekudeshes. But if he tries to be Mekadesh one of the two, the Kedushin is good. V'im Amar. And now here's Abaye how he's going to read the next part of the Mishnah. And if he says, Ha'ru'uyu Labia Tizkadesh Li, Ena Mekudeshes. The one who is fit for Bia should be Mekudeshes to me. In other words, according to Abaye, he actually stipulates and he says, I want to marry only the one that I could have Bia with. So then, the Kedushin is not going to be a valid Kedushin. And now the Mishnah brings in the story that's supportive of this, where it's five women, two of them are sisters. The Amar Haruili Mikem Tiskarishliv, Amar Chachamim, Ein Achosa Mekudeshes, Ein Achayos Mekudashos. And now, because he stipulated, he said that I'm not going to have Kedushin with the one that I cannot have beer with, that's why he's not going to be married to either one of the sisters. Okay. Now that's how Abai will have learned the entire Mishnah. What about Rava? Rava Mataris Latame, Mekadesh Achas Miisha Uvita, oh Achas Miisha Vaachosa. So now in Rava, in terms of how he's attacking the Mishnah, he will tell us that the Mishnah actually is discussing where it's a woman and a sister, or a woman and her daughter, and the man is trying to be Mekadesh, not both of them, but the man is trying to be Mekadesh one of them. And in such a scenario, the Kedushin is not good. Why? Because it's Kedushin, Shein, Mesur, and Labia. Nase kemi shekidish isha obita o isha v'achosa. It's as if he was trying to be Mekadosh both of them. Ka'achas. Ve'inim akudashos. And therefore, they're not, the Kedushin is not going to be Val Kedushin. And now, ma'isanami b'chamishashim v'hem shein achayos v'likedecha kakal shaltenim v'amar ha'akuchem harei kuchem. Okay. And then in the Mishnah, the next case in the Mishnah, where he makes an attempt to marry one of the two sisters, but because it's a Kedushin, so therefore the Kedushin is not going to be a valid Kedushin. Okay, so we have our Mishnah. Admittedly, our Mishnah favors Abaye in the beginning, favors Rava at the end, and then the Gemara basically goes over how each Abaye and Rava are going to be learning the Mishnah respective to their positions. Tashma, let's do a little bit more for this morning. Hamakash is Bito Stam. A man marries a woman, the daughter, and Eina Bogros Bechlal. So the older daughters, meaning a man is marrying off one of his daughters. And let's say that this man has got adult daughters and minor daughters. So, in a bogus bechlal. So, first of all, take all the adult daughters and put them off the table. Because, as we know, once they become bogeres, so they are no longer under the jurisdiction of the father. Okay, so, haktanus bechlal. Now, what that means, of course, is take them off the table, and now we're left with the younger daughters. Now, of the younger daughters, one of them is going to be married to you. Now, Rava, wait one second, we have a big problem. You say that Kedushin She'in Mr. Labia is not considered a valid Kedushin. So how is this going to work? V'amai Kedushin She'in Mr. Labia ninovitiy of Tadarava. So this is going to be difficult for Rava. Amalcha Rava Achaba Maizkinan Kishein Sham Ela Gedola V'Ketana. So the Gemara says, well, Rava will tell you that you misunderstood the case. There weren't many daughters. There were two daughters. One who happens to be a Bulgaris, the other one happens to be Ketana. Habogeres Ketani, the Gemara says, yeah, but it says Bogros, plural. So my Bogros the Amma. The Gemara says, no, it means in the generic sense. Ihachi Mala Memra. So the Gemara says, well, now, if you're right, the only two daughters, and the man accepts Kedusha on behalf of one of his daughters. One's a Bogeres and one of the other one's a Ketana. Now we're no longer really teaching any Chiddush. Well, obviously, the man is only going to be being Mekadosh's his minor daughter. So the Gemara says, "Hacham b'maiskin d'shavisa shliach." Ah, the Gemara says, "No, there is a chiddush because the adult daughter said to her father, look, I know I'm no longer under your jurisdiction, and you can't marry me off because you're my father, meaning you no longer have the power to marry me off. But you know what? I'm making you my agent." I'm deputizing you. You will be my shliach, so that in the event that you find a good guy and you think he's fit for me, you're my dad, I trust you. So now, dad has the ability to marry off his adult daughter and his minor daughter. The adult daughter, because he was appointed a shliach. His minor daughter, because he's still empowered by the Torah to marry off his minor daughter. Now, so the Gemara says, now he accepted Kiddush on behalf of one of his daughters, without an explication of which one of the daughters it was. So which one was it? Is it going to be his adult daughter? Is it going to be his minor daughter? So the Gemara says, gives a penetrating insight, and the Gemara says, look, he marries off his adult daughter, he's doing so as a shliach. Who's going to get the kesef kedushin? His adult daughter. Meanwhile, if he marries off his minor daughter, who's going to get the kesef kedushin? He's going to get the kesef kedushin. So given the choice where one is going to result in a financial windfall for him, and the other isn't, So just basic human nature, a person will do something that will result in a financial windfall. So milas kinnan da'amar le'kedusha lidida. So the Gemara says, lididcha. Well, maybe the case is where the adult daughter also said to the father, look, not only do I want you to marry me off, but you keep the kesef kedushin. Right now I'm just interested in marriage. And you'll hold on to the kesef kedushin. Still, the Gemara says it's a no-brainer. A person's going to marry off his minor daughter because the minor daughter is under his jurisdiction, and it's a mitzvah deram yalei, meaning it's his responsibility right now to provide and take care of his minor daughter. Mashagain came with the older daughter. Again, it's his daughter. It's nice. It's right. It's good to that he takes care of his older daughter as well, but it's not as a confronting mitzvah as it is for him to take care of his minor daughter. So given the choice between marrying off his older daughter, even though everything is equal, he was appointed a shliach, he's even going to keep the kesef kedushin, still the person is going to first push forward his minor daughter and then afterwards take care of his older daughter. Okay, Tashma, let's pause over here and we'll pick it up tomorrow. Let's quickly recap what happened this morning. This morning we learned the Mishnah about a man being Mekadosh a woman and his daughter simultaneously, or a woman and a sister simultaneously. The Mishnah says the Kedushin with neither one of them is going to be good. Why should that be? So we have two streams of thought in the Gemara. The Amud Aleph, most of the Amud Aleph, dealt with the principle of Rabbah. The principle of Rabbah is, if you can't do something successively, you cannot do it simultaneously. Since you cannot marry a woman and her daughter successively, you cannot do it simultaneously. That's the principle of Rabbah, and that is, the Rashi described that as a svara, it's a logical argument, and that's why the Kedushin with neither one of them would be chal, because you can't do one after the other, you therefore does not work simultaneously. Then the second half of today's daf starts in the toward the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, and moves on to Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The entirety of Nun Aleph Amud Beis is the Shita of Rava. Rava says, previously, by the way, it was Rabba with a hey, who was his Rebbe. And then Rava says, Kedushin she'ein mister in labia, ain't in Kedushin. If you make a Kedushin with a woman, and as we'll say it like Tosos, and because of the Kedushin you cannot have bia with her, like Arayos, so therefore the Kedushin is not going to be valid to begin with. So that's what's called Kedushin She'ein Mesurin Labia. So if you create a Kedushin that cannot result in Bia, the Kedushin is not going to be valid. Now, Abai happens to disagree with that. We spent most of this morning, and we're going to spend a good part of tomorrow trying to defend Rava's position. And what we're going to learn at the end, just as a conclusion, is that we'll see this tomorrow, is that this is one of the Al-Kagam. Six times in Shas, we know we pass one like Abaye over Rava. This is one of them. The Al-Kagam is an acronym, Yud Ayin Lamed, Kuf Gimel Mem. And this is the Kuf of the Al-Kagam. Kedushin She'ein Mesurin Labia. And as we will conclude in tomorrow's daf, this is one of the six times we're going to pass like Abaye over that of Rava.